Hey Gurudev, welcome to our full moon celebration for March, sponsored by the Ultimate Flying Club. My name is Dimitris Karasis and I'm the president of the Ultimate Flying Club. Tonight, we thought that a wonderful introduction to Dr. Freund's great exposition of the origin of yogic flying would be a quote from Maharshi on yogic flying from his concluding remarks to the world on January 11th of 2008. And Maharshi said, "It's a great work that has developed, that a few people yogic flying and the world will be spontaneously in terms of harmony. Harmony in the world, harmony in the world. Throughout the globe, there will be no ups and downs. The world will ever be in peace, harmony, happiness, invincibility. All glory to Gurudev. No end to these waves of bliss." And this is what you are all creating for the world, and Dr. Freund, it's such a great fortune to have you. This is the second in his series of lectures on yogic flying for a course that will be offered by MUM. And please welcome Dr. Freund. Jai Gurudev.
Thank you. We're going to start with Maharshi's lecture on the origin of yogic flying.
The Transcendental Meditation Program, Advanced Lecture Collection. Introduction to Maharshi Vedic Science. The Origin of Yogic Flying. December 18th, 2002, Vlodra, Poland.
Maharshi, this question is from Aaron Phillips, a student journalist in Evanston, Illinois, and there are a great many students, more and more, who are attending and participating in these conferences with questions for Maharshi. These are four brief questions about yogic flying. First question is, Maharshi, what is the origin of yogic flying?
The capacity of expansion within the field of self-referral consciousness, in the field of Atma, in the field of Self, all the qualities that are exhibited in the field of the universe, they are all the qualities of the Self, the qualities of consciousness and expansion quality. It is called shiksha in the Vedic language, shiksha. Shiksha also means education. Vedic education is that quality of consciousness which unfolds. Something that is dormant is unfolded, is brought to light, is expressed. Something unexpressed is brought to expression. It's a quality of intelligence, it's a quality of consciousness. And when through transcendental meditation, one experiences that field of intelligence, the thought always rises from that field of silence, and the thought is driven by that quality of consciousness. So it is the source of creation which gets enlightened when the body lifts up in the air, the phenomenon of yogic flying is seen as a physical performance, but it is initiated on the level of quiet consciousness, from where the thought sprouts. It's the sprouting of a thought, and the sprouting of a thought is that carrier of that quality of expansion. That means the quality of fulfillment of the thought. It's the same quality which spreads the infinite number of galaxies floating in empty space. Who makes it? Not any individual intelligence. So we say cosmic intelligence. Then we say the will of God. We say the unified field of intelligence, functioning within itself on its own nature, is the basis of all activity in the universe, all the phenomena in the field of action, in the field of dynamism in the world. So the enlivenment, I would say conscious enlivenment of the source of thought at the point of transcendental consciousness is the performance which gives rise to the activity of yogic flying. We say yogic because it has its basis in the unity consciousness. It is the unity consciousness which moves to express itself in the diversity. So from that very fundamental level of the sprouting of diversity is the phenomenon of yogic flying. It's the same phenomenon which is causing infinite number of galaxies, huge weights hanging around in empty space, and dynamically displaying their performance in a most natural way. That is the program which makes the individual awareness competent to move silence and achieve anything that one desires. In one phrase, Rig Veda says it, we have been saying it many times, we can say it once more today, Yatinam Brahma Bhavati Sarathihi. In that state of unity consciousness, from where the thought sprouts, from that level, nature takes over to fulfill the desire. So what is important is to have enlivenment of that unity consciousness, enlivenment of that unity consciousness. An administration of Rajaram has taken upon itself to create administration of society, administration of all the countries in the world to be based on this level of intelligence, on this level of intelligence, where everyone would experience fulfillment of his desire. It's a great thing, huh? When I'm saying it, I'm not exaggerating. I'm simply stating the nature of this knowledge at the basis of thought. At the basis of thought within oneself, that knowledge is total knowledge of natural law, and the thought of lifting up in the air immediately gets responded. So it is the nature which functions from this level. This is the philosophy of action. How much one could achieve by working hard, brings fatigue, brings stress and all that. But practicing just to think from this level, which is the nature of the self, nature of unity, nature of consciousness, just this is to be learned. There is a phrase in the Vedic education, know that by knowing which everything would get known. I would like to make this point very clear. It's a simple thing. It's a very simple thing. It's a very simple thing. The example will be the sap in a tree. The gardener waters the root and enlivens the sap in a tree. Sap is transcendental value of the tree. But that transcendental sap is the basis of all expressions of the leaves, flowers, fruits. So know that by knowing which all expressions in creation could be known, could be achieved, could be manipulated, could be done anything. This is the great science of life, great science of life and well-being of the whole society. In every nation we want to base on that magnificent level of administration where education will produce that harmony. Education will produce that harmony in the society of millions of people. And there will be a sense of uniformity in the diverse thinkings and doings of all the people. A very beautiful course of knowledge for the world, and we are trying to establish universities of world peace, where this knowledge will be perpetuated. Every generation will have developed this knowledge, practical knowledge of all possibility for every national consciousness. A very good thing. We can hear, this is the field of enlightenment, huh? Hear from the Minister of Enlightenment of the global country of world peace. He is anxious to share enlightenment with all the people everywhere.
What is this quality of expansion that Maharishi talked about? Expansion is deeply ingrained in the nature of life. Expansion is there in the curiosity of a child who wants to know more and more about everything. expansion is there in the structure of family life. As the individual gradually expands his territory of influence in the world by caring for the other members of his family. As he grows, that care expands into caring for their friends, and then the friends of friends, and eventually developing a feeling of goodwill and concern for the whole human race. This is natural, completely natural. Education is all about expansion. Vocabulary expands. Skills of abstract thinking using mathematics expand. Knowledge of the geography of the world expands. Knowledge of the universe and the laws of nature on every level of creation expand. Knowledge of life as a whole expands. The quality of expansion is, on the one hand, what makes the first letter expand into the second and third, where each expression is an expanded commentary on what has come before. And on the other hand, expansion is that quality of awareness which comprehends the total elaboration of Veda and Vedic literature in the first sound, ah. Expansion makes the seed grow into a tree, but also it is expanded vision, expanded awareness, which is capable of seeing the whole tree in the seed. Education should have always been focused on this expansion of awareness, because it is this expansion of awareness which alone can lead the individual to that level of life where every desire is spontaneously fulfilled. Picking up individual facts and concepts in different disciplines is still expansion, but it is like examining closely the many leaves and branches of a tree. There are millions of them, and by proceeding on the surface of the tree, one never gets the fulfillment of grasping the whole tree. One never gets the benefit of total knowledge. And then one is left working hard and struggling to fulfill desires throughout one's life. Shiksha, Vedic education, is focused on expanding the container of knowledge rather than accumulating facts and concepts. Now we want to look more deeply into the quality of expansion in Vedic education by examining the actual Vedic texts in the field of Shiksha. There are broadly three classes of Shiksha texts. The first, expounded by the great rishis of ancient times, such as Panini, Narada, Bharadwaja, and Vyasa, present the overall theory of phonetics of the ancient Vedic language. The second class of Shiksha texts focuses on specific principles of expression. The third class points out particular features of the Vedic text and spells out all the instances of occurrence of those features. The most important category of Shiksha is the category of the theoretical texts. In this category, all the texts are named after the ancient rishis who cognized their respective phonetic systems. In our discussion, this group will be represented by Atreya Shiksha. Atreya presents a system of recitation called Varnakrama. Through five steps of recitation, the awareness is step by step expanded from surface level of awareness of relative boundaries to the deepest level of awareness of the field of akshara, where the Vedic speech is structured. Starting from gross, the first step is called Shuddha Varnakrama. This style of recitation consists in simply spelling out the letters in each word of the Vedic text. This step alone represents a tremendous expansion of awareness. The process of naming each sound opens to awareness the total story of the field of phonetics, because only on this basis can one enter into the study of correct pronunciation in all its details, including knowledge of the intricacies of santi, the mixing of sounds at word boundaries, a knowledge of grammar, the evolution of sound from primordial roots. This step, naming the letters, empowers the student to read and to write the Sanskrit language. This step alone makes the Vedic speech into a language which can be learned, analyzed, and understood. The same expansion is experienced by any young boy or girl learning the alphabet of his or her mother tongue and learning to spell the words of his or her native language. It is tremendously empowering because it opens the door to assimilating all the texts, traditional and modern, of his or her culture. The speciality of the expansion that takes place when the Shuddha Varnakrama is recited, as opposed to the spelling of words in a modern language, is that the phonemes whose names are recited in the Shuddha Varnakrama are the phonemes of the speech of the Creator, the impulses of creative intelligence which administer the whole creation. This is expansion not into the territory of culture. The wise poets and seers and scientists of past and present ages, but expansion into the territory of the natural law, which is the ruler of cosmic life. Let's listen to the Shuddha Varnakrama recited for the first syllable, sa, of Saraswati.
Shuddha Varnakramaha Sakara Akara.
Sakara, the name of the letter A, is Akara. Reciting the Vedic text by calling out the names of the letters one by one in this way, in the Shuddha Varnakrama, is said to be 1,000 times as powerful as the simple recitation of the Sanghita. The second Varnakrama, Swara Varnakrama, adds the accent or pitch which is used. There are 10 kinds of accents, and for some of those 10 kinds, there is an additional property of the accent called the prayatna, or effort, which is also recited. There is a considerable amount of expansion of detail already in this second varnakrama. Listen to the swara varnakrama recitation for the syllable sa.
Swara varnakramaha sakaro datta akara.
The third Varnakrama is the Matra Varnakrama. This recitation adds the duration of every speech sound measured in matras.
Matra Kala Varnakramaha Ardha Matrika Sakara Eka Matriko Datta Akara.
The fourth, called Anga Varnakrama, enters into the detailed relationship of vowels and consonants. In order to pronounce a consonant, a vowel sound has to be introduced. Consonants depend on vowels in order to be heard. The sound ka, in which the throat is completely closed, is completely silent. It cannot be heard unless there is a vowel before it, such as in ak, or a vowel after it, as in ka. A consonant is said to belong to the vowel upon which it depends for its articulation. It belongs either to a previous vowel, called purvanga, or to the following vowel, called paranga. This recitation includes also the classification of the sound into specific categories, such as short or long vowels, full contact consonants, or semi-vowels. Listen to the recitation of the Anga Varnakrama for the syllable sa.
Anga Varnakramaha Ardha Matrika Paranga Bhuta Ushma Sangya Sakara Rasva Sangya Eka Matriko Datta Akara.
Starting to get a little bit longer. On the fifth level, there are 8 qualities recited for every consonant, 8 qualities for every vowel, and 10 qualities for every Vedic accent. These present the complete phonetic specifications for each letter. The place of articulation, the organ of articulation, and the degree of effort are there in the list, but also the debita and the cast. Here we see the eight qualities of the consonants. And here the eight properties of every vowel. They're very similar. And then the 10 properties of every accent also include the debita and the cast, as well as the corresponding note of the musical scale. Each letter, each phoneme in the Vedic language is an impulse of creative intelligence, a devata, and in the Varna Sada Bhuta Varna Krama, the fifth of the five Varna Kramas, the letters are classified according to the devatas of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and space. These correspond to the five spin types in quantum field theory. Listen to the Swarasara Bhuta Varnakrama recitation. And the translation is in red below, so you can follow as it's going along, at least for the first half.
Varnasara Bhuta Varnakramaha Shwasadvani Janita Dantamuladho Bhagasthanat जिह्वाग्रकरण विवृत प्रयत्न अर्धमात्राकाल वन्हि देवता शूद्रजाति परांगभूत सकार नादध्वनि जनित कंठ विवृतोष्ठस्थान कंठाधो भाग विवृतोष्ठाद करण संवृत प्रयत्नैह मात्रा काल भूमि देवता ब्राह्मण जाति सत्व गुण सहित तज्जन्यं गाली मध्य रेखां न्यास योग्याध्ये त्रंगदार्ध्य रैद दैर्ध्य कंठाकाश मुख स्थानोद्भवोदात्त वायुदेवता ब्राह्मण जाति सहित अकार
This is the full recitation for two letters of one word. Whereas the first Varnakrama, Shuddha Varnakrama, is 1,000 times as powerful as the recitation of the Sanghita. The recitation using the Varnasara Bhuta Varnakrama is completely unlimited, unbounded in its power. In five sequential steps, the awareness is conveyed from the surface level of perception of sound to more and more abstract values of knowledge about the sound, until the sound is understood as an impulse of intelligence on the level of the unified field of all the laws of nature. This gentle and sequential expansion of knowledge about the letters of the Vedic language cultures the awareness and physiology of the student to become increasingly familiar with the finer and more expanded regions of his own consciousness. Reciting the Vedas with these different modes of recitation purifies the physiology and gives rise to experience of increasingly abstract, expanded values of silence. Thus purified by the Vedas, the student attains Parabrahma, Atreya says, the supreme level of consciousness. This is a tangible demonstration of the quality of expansion in Shiksha. The special contribution of Shiksha is to structure that delicacy and power of the physiology in which the form of the Vedic words that one is reciting spontaneously flash forth, become manifest. This is unfoldment of the latent potential of the student, making him capable of harnessing the total potential of natural law in the unified field. This is the quality of expansion in Shiksha, which Maharishi refers to as the origin of yogic flying. With this overview of the theory and practice of Vedic recitation taught in Atreya Shiksha, let's now listen to the recitation of the beginning and ending verses of Atreya Shiksha.
Atha Atreya Shiksha Prathama Shlokaha Atasvara iti prokta vyanjana nihala smritaha Hrasvadirgha pluta varne varno varna rurulrucha Antima shlokaha Veda rupa virasat parapparam ye pathanti vidhiradvijottamaha Te trivargamiha chanubhuya tachashvatam padama vapnuyuh param.
The quality of expansion is of course present in every system of education. One learns more and more and eventually receives a diploma or certificate. But the special feature of the quality of expansion in Shiksha, Vedic education, is that the expansion leads on and on to the unbounded, unconditioned totality of life called Parabrahma. This is a system of education that does justice to the student's quest for knowledge. The goal of Shiksha is to establish the awareness on that delicate level of consciousness where desires will be instantly fulfilled. The quality of expansion in Shiksha is expansion of the container of knowledge, expansion of the awareness of the student to that level of life where the letters of the Veda are experienced as the impulses of one's own self, and the self is not limited in time and space, but omnipresent. That level of awareness where the impulses of natural law, the riches of the Veda, are structured, what Dirga Thomas calls the akshara, located in Paramevya Man, the highest region of space. That is the goal of Shiksha. The texts of Shiksha have as their goal the expansion of the container of knowledge to the unbounded level of the unified field so that every impulse of thought spontaneously gains the support of all the laws of nature. Reading Shiksha, and indeed reading all the Vedic literature, is of enormous practical benefit for improving the experience of yogic flying. Maharshi says, close the eyes and meditate, and open the eyes and read the Vedic literature. There's actually a symbiotic relationship between yogic flying and Vedic recitation, and we see this in the training of the pundits in India, where Maharshi has made yogic flying an integral part of the training of every pundit. Now tens of thousands of young Brahmin boys have grown up learning to recite the Vedas and practice yogic flying along with TM and TM cities. In this way, Vedic recitation is always from the level of the unified field for maximum effectiveness. This knowledge of the value of yogic flying for Vedic recitation is knowledge that is reawakening Vedic culture, creating a new Vedic age of heaven on earth, life free from problems and suffering. The potential for unlimited expansion in the field of education, the ability to know everything and do everything spontaneously right, is the birthright of every child born on earth. This potential for expansion is hardwired into the human nervous system. This potential for expansion is fully actualized through Vedic education, Shiksha, and that is the origin of yogic flying.